Cheers, Mikey. Good evening, everyone. Lovely to be at this event, and thanks to Mikey and Joe and everyone else who's done service. It's been great hearing all the other shares here, and massive congratulations to you, Jody, on your year's sobriety today. That's amazing, mate. Well done. So extremely quick 60-second whistle stop tour to my kind of weird journey of recovery, really, is weird child, teenager, loved drinking drugs, went to dry out in a mental hospital when I was 18, went to rehab, year of not using based on fear, no meetings, thought I'd be okay taking a bit of speed and going to nightclubs, but it'd be fine if I didn't drink. Ended up with mental health issues as a result of that, and paranoia, psychosis. Went into another fellowship in my late 20s. Actually had 13 years of some sobriety at the beginning of it, but for the majority of it, as someone else mentioned, as Adam said, really doing a sort of program where it was, oh, I'll do a bit of that, I'll do a bit of that, I'll do a bit of that. Oh, I'm not bothering with that. No, my sexual behavior, I can sort that out. Thank you very much. That's nothing to do with it. And inevitably, spectacularly relapsed then, but my whiskey in the milk was pretty much a needle full of crystal meth, which I thought was a brilliant idea at the age of 41. But then found myself through a bizarre kind of series of God moments, really, coming into a meeting of CA for the first time just over a year ago. I've done a few step fours, but I've done the only kind of meaningful step four I've done in the last 12 months. Searching and fearless moral inventory, the kind of pitfalls, the challenges with step four for me have been procrastination. I always want life to be really nice, really simple, full of fun stuff, easy, unicorns dancing around, all my needs met perfectly to my satisfaction. I don't always particularly want to think, right, I'm going to sit there, look myself square in the eye, and all my defects, which has obviously been the problem the whole time. Would put it off, would put it off, would put it off. Read loads of books about it. This is my kind of longest stretch of sobriety now, another fellowship. Read lots of books about it. Even a book called A Soft, Gentle Journey Through the 12 Steps, which obviously recalls that phrase. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. But that didn't stop me trying. Eventually, my sponsor said, "Right, start with the interesting bit. Just try and do your sexual inventory then, and then I'll meet you and we'll go out for a coffee and discuss it on Sunday." So I went to meet him to the Welsh Government Cafe, actually in Cardiff Bay, and went through all this sexual inventory stuff and got home and realised that I'd left the book on the table in the cafe, which wasn't a great start. So I just had a whole load of unmanageability and kind of chaos around it. Fortunately, since being in CA, I just sat down with a sponsor. I've just gone through the book, all the stuff that we've heard so far, the first three steps. And it's a case of if all else fails, actually just turn to the book and do what it says in that. There's a really helpful worksheet my sponsor gave me, which points to all the kind of relevant parts around the kind of page. There's 60, what is it, 5, 6, 7-ish. Where it talks about step four, and it says that it's necessary for us to do a house cleaning, and that we need to attempt really to, having made a decision now to turn my will and my life, as Jody's just described, over to something else. And as we've heard, me not having any of the power, then I need to rid myself of all the behaviour that's kind of I've allowed to attach itself to me, that's been blocking me from having any kind of meaningful relationship with myself, the universe, God. And also it tells us that the drug and alcohol really were just a symptom. It wasn't those that were the problem. I've always thought up to then, oh, well, when I drink and take drugs, obviously I behave like an idiot and I'm a bad person. But when it comes down to it, once I put those things down, I'm actually kind of all right and there's no problem. Well, step four completely shatters that myth. The book uses the analogy of a, well, it's, the analogy is even in the actual step itself, the whole idea of an inventory, just usually something that you'd have in a business if something's not functioning properly, or to make sure that it's functioning as best it can, you need to have a really good look at everything and take any action about, with anything that you come across that isn't performing in the way that it should. It tells us that resentment is the number one offender. And whenever people talk about resentments, people will often say, oh, I never used to think I had any resentments. And people say I've said that all the time over the years in the fellowship, and then people have a bit of a laugh. And I genuinely didn't, that phrase didn't really mean anything to me. And I genuinely didn't think I had any resentments. I didn't think I was a resentful person. I think I just really thought most people in the world were just twats apart from me. That was just a fact. And everyone was so annoying and poor me. And I really didn't think that it was me that actually had the resentful nature. And, the book, it shows us, you know, it's got the three columns in there. On the worksheet I did, it had an additional column in there, which also added on the part, you know, what part did I play in the situation? So an example of one of the resentments is I could think about a good friend of mine who got a good job. And instead of me being pleased, you know, because I'm of resentful nature, instead I just sit there thinking when I'm using, oh, that job's shit. Oh, but when I put the drinking drugs down, the job I'll get is going to be so much better than that. I don't know why she's so pleased about that job, blah, blah, blah. Massively resentful. And when I note this thing down and I say, well, what is the, who is the issue regarding, and then I, you know, my friend's name, what is it that she's got a job? What does this affect? Well, it affects, you know, there's the whole list there that it mentions, but my pride, my emotional security, my finances, my self-esteem, my ambitions, my personal relationships, but even my, sex relations, these things can affect, which I'll come back to later, because I could never really see how that could have been affected by any of these problems that just kind of happen in, you know, just in my everyday life. And also, you know, adding on to that, where was I to blame? I would never have thought, I feel resentful now about this person having a job, because I'm jealous, because I'm living a life where I'm drinking and taking drugs every day. I'm getting up out of bed at 2 o'clock and having a spliff and Weetabix for breakfast stroke lunch. And I'm never really leaving the house and never fulfilling any of my obligations. Therefore, when I see someone succeeding, I feel jealous of them. I wasn't capable of being honest with myself like that. So instead, obviously, I just lash out and blame other people. Oh, that's a shit job. I wouldn't want it anyway. Or when I magically sort myself out one day, all of this will, you know, I'll do so much better than she's doing, blah, blah, blah. So that is, I didn't realise, you know, I couldn't, on my own, I'm incapable of actually seeing reality. I just see things through my own kind of skewed resentful nature. You know, another example of that is my relationship with my family. My brother's an addict, and my parents often enable him. They give him lots of money and all the rest of it. And I would get very resentful about my dad and the way that he would deal with that. And then the way I would handle that is that I would just barge in there and be criticizing my dad, saying you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. And even though I may well be right, it's not really the point. The fact of the matter is, I'm feeling resentful about it. You know, I'm practicing all these character defects, self-righteous indignation, trying to control the situation when there's nothing I can, you know, when there's really nothing that I can do about it. And again, I would only before be able to see that I was right. And I'd only get as far, like it says in the book, as I could only reach the conclusion that other people were the problem. And I wasn't ever capable of thinking there was anything, you know, because how can I be wrong? They shouldn't be enabling him. You know, my brother's a twat. He shouldn't be taking drugs. He shouldn't be taking the money off them. I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. That's all I could see. And I wasn't capable of seeing that any of these things, from putting them all down in these columns of the resentments, that these defects crop up in all sorts of situations, whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong, whether it's my family, whether it's my brother, whoever it is. This is where I can actually put in some of the footwork later on, as we'll hear in 6 and 7, where I can put in the footwork and ask for these things to be removed and try practicing the opposites where I can. Fears. I hadn't realised to what extent my life was completely ruled by fear. So obviously, you know, in the book it tells us that we look at resentments, which I've just talked about, fears, sexual conduct and harms that we've done to others. So the book actually says that fears are an evil and corroding thread, and the fabric of our existence is shot through with fear, and asks us to make a list of them. So I've completed the whole list of my fears. And also, you know, the principles of being as honest and thorough as possible, not leaving anything out. Some of these things can be quite embarrassing, but especially in a step 4, it's just a case of just write it down in the first instance. It doesn't have to be Try not to think too much about when it's being shared. But all it's asking us to do is like a written inventory at first. One example of a fear for me would have been speaking at meetings. I'd be terrified about it. And when I look at the reason for that, it was self-obsession. It was this need for validation from other people. And once I actually write that down, and I can see it in black and white, and I'm really taking stock rather than just letting the fear kind of run my life, then it does really help to diffuse it. It does help me think, well, no, this isn't a problem with all the other people who are going to judge me or who are going to hate me or whatever. It's actually me. It's my own stuff, and it's also a start of it's a start of me actually not being, like it mentions in the book about self-reliance. This is the start of me not being self-reliant and just thinking that I can do things myself. But it's a start of me actually writing this down with a view of sharing it to someone else and being able to, being willing to actually change my behavior. The sexual conduct and harms to others I completed together using the same four columns as I did for the resentments. And the first time I did it, I wrote this whole massive list down of all my kind of sexual experiences, really. And to an extent, part of that was me still living in a problem, and it was a case of me thinking, "Oh, look at all these sexual experiences I've had. Doesn't that mean that I must be an amazing, attractive person?" There was definitely an element of that to it. I didn't really have the focus of it being a moral inventory, and this being something where, as much as I need to be thorough, really I need to be looking for where I've been self-seeking in these sexual experiences and my sexual conduct, where I've been self-seeking and where I've harmed myself and where I've harmed other people. So it was really good to have that focus, and the same with my harms to others. Another list of all the people, including, a lot of the people who would also be on my resentment list, who I had also caused lots of harm to. So, I mean, it's these steps. It's with a view to us getting to step 12 and bit practicing these principles in all our affairs. And this idea of doing this detailed inventory in these columns, we obviously do it in step 10. For step 10, I will just use Spiritual Toolkit app for doing on the spot inventory and nightly inventory. But sometimes if certain things are cropping up on that regularly, then I will need to do a more detailed four column inventory on it. And to have a look at what's really going on. And this is where when I look at part of my problem was I was using, if it wasn't with people I know, I was going on dating apps. I was meeting people from there who were partying, and I was going and often taking drugs with them. Well, if ever I start going anywhere near that behavior, that's massively worrying for me, and I'm massively in danger of relapsing. So these things would often go on my inventory. What could I have done better? Oh, I logged onto a dating app. I had a quick look on this. I had a quick look at that. Whatever it is. And then my sponsor will point out, you're only doing these things when you've also had all these resentments on there, where you've had these arguments with your family, where you've got the self-righteous indignation, where you're holding on to all this stuff. And then some of that old behavior, like going on these apps and having a bit of a flirtation with that, to somehow vicariously get some of that old excitement back, that is something that I can use that will give me that same sense of ease and comfort that I would have got from the drink and the drugs. And it's only from doing that more detailed inventory that I will be able to, kind of check my behavior and change it. And this is how these things, like having a resentment at work, whatever it is, that these things can actually, I do need to put my sexual conduct listed on there as something that can affect, because these things later on, these things are all kind of bound up together, really. So, yeah, just to finish now, really, a life without a higher power and the fellowship of CA for me really is a life of me just being isolated due to blaming other people, not being able to see my part in anything, and just feeling like I'm hard done by and everything else, everybody else is wrong. Being completely crippled by fears which overtake my life, which is what happens when I try and run things myself. And then also having a kind of sexual conduct and way of treating other people that just causes them and myself lots of harm. That's the life that I have. And I can still have elements of that without the drink or drugs, if I'm not behaving properly and I'm not doing, maintaining my spiritual condition on a daily basis. So, yeah, I'm just going to finish there. I'm going to just wish everybody a very, very, very happy new year. And it's been lovely being at this event. Hopefully, I've made some sense. And yeah, wishing everyone all the best for 2021.